Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome to all of those who are listening through the internet. I hope you all had a really good Valentine's Day. Actually, I forgot it was Valentine's Day. Oh, dear. Well, as you know, since the beginning of this year, this new year, I've been led where I felt very strongly that the Lord wanted me to teach on righteousness, what it means. And so for the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks now, we've been ripping this thing apart and getting a really good look at it. And because it's such a vital, important part to us living a good life, a prosperous life, a successful life. And we all are about having a good life, right? And the importance of us understanding this topic and understanding what it means to us and the freedom it gives us to live a good life. And it's surprising to me to see so many people who have never heard much about this topic, or if they have, it never really was understood properly. And the understanding of righteousness is not a side dish. You know, like we think, oh, yeah, I mean, there's that topic on righteousness. And sometimes in the church, we divide up topics and doctrines and, you know, and as long as we're listening to one main doctrine or topic, it's like, okay, now I'm in the zone, I understand it, whatever. And you kind of try to walk in it. But as soon as it's out of our sight and out of hearing, we tend to kind of forget it, right? And so I've been driving this one home because it's not a side dish of the gospel. It is the gospel. It is the main theme, so to speak, of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, we're going to go back and we're going to just, for the sake of those who haven't been with us over the last 6 weeks, and we're going to bring it back up to where I want to go this morning. But Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the gospel message. Is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." There it's the first. You see, the gospel is the power because of the righteousness that's revealed. That's what that is saying. For therein, because. If you look up the word for in the Bible, it kind of means, one of the definitions given is because of the righteousness that is revealed in the gospel message from faith to faith, as it is written, the just. Now, whenever you see the word just in the Bible, you know it's talking about righteous. Those that are righteous shall live by faith. So the gospel message of Jesus is the power of God unto all things. The word salvation, we know we've ripped that word apart as well. Many believe that salvation is only one day going to heaven. Okay, we're saved from going to hell. That's what they see salvation as being. And that is true, but it's such a small part of that word. The word salvation means to be safe in mind, in body, and in estate. That makes up your whole being, your whole life. Estate is your house, your job, your family, all things. And your body is your health, of course, and your mind. How many today are not safe in their minds? It's sad what's happening. There are, I think, more people on drugs for depression and all kinds of things that, and maybe we always needed them back then, but I don't know. But today, everybody's on some sort of a pill, either to calm them down or pick them up, or maybe both. One to calm them down and one to pick them back up again. But it's become an epidemic, the mental problems, suicide at an all-time high. And I mean, we're not going to get into the whys of it, but what I'm saying is salvation is including your mind. And it all begins with the mind. If your mind is safe, if you have the right mind, that's what directs your whole being. It directs your whole life. So salvation includes that. The gospel message, where righteousness is revealed, is the power to that. You understand? That's what I'm trying to say here. Righteousness, understanding righteousness, how to use it, what it is, what it means, is so vitally important for us to live a successful life. And that's why I believe the Lord, especially at this hour, wants us to understand this word, because things are getting worse. Things are getting chaotic. And everybody, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that men's hearts are going to fail them for the fear of what's coming upon the earth. And, you know, we think I remember when COVID hit, you know, we went through that little hiccup and everything, and we thought, oh, well, you know, when that's written, everything's going to go back to the way it was. But it didn't. It seems like things are escalating in the world, in, you know, wars and rumors of wars. There's all kinds of stuff going on that is totally unheard of, even for us who lived 20 years ago, like crazy stuff. And so you just think, oh, this is just a fad. It's going to move on. But will it? You know, and so there's a lot of fear that I guess that's entering into the picture here. And I believe this word will, God wants his people to be free from all of that. And this is the word that will set you free. So it's the righteousness of God revealed that is the power of God unto health, wealth, and wisdom. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's what this really is saying, okay? And I don't know if there's anybody here that says, no, I don't want to be healthy, wealthy, or wise. I think that across the board is just something that every person would like to have and be. But for the most people, if you ask them what the gospel message is, most of them will say, well, it's Jesus dying on the cross for my sins, which that's true in part. But that's only half of the gospel message. There's so much that we don't fully comprehend about the gospel message. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says this. 4:25. Jesus, who, the word who there is Jesus, was delivered up for our offenses, or offenses is just another word for sin. Jesus was delivered up, in other words, delivered up to death. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. And then it says, and was raised again for what? Our justification. Now that word justification, if you look it up, it's simply righteousness. So to be just is to be righteous. Justification is righteousness. Okay, so he was put to death for our sins, yes, but that's not the end of the story. If Jesus Christ hadn't been raised, we would still be in our sins. But the fact that he was raised tells us that he paid for them, and he would not have been raised if there was just one sin that was left unpaid. And that's why when the last word he shouted on the cross before he finally gave up the ghost was finished. The debt is paid. And what we fail to realize, and I need to stress this, is the debt was paid your whole lifetime of sins. And you know what? If it wasn't, he died and paid that debt off long before you were born. So which ones did he pay for? Just a few? No, he paid for all sin. From the first man, Adam, all the way to the very last person that is going to be born in this earth before he comes back and all of that is wrapped up. Which is, there is a time coming where it is all going to be wrapped up. And so in the meantime, how do we see all this? How do we live? How do we, you know, even just focus on what is to come? Let's not be ignorant. Anyways, righteousness, what are we talking about here? I got a little distracted here. Okay. So he was raised for our righteousness. So there's that part that most Christians don't understand. He died for my sins, but he was raised for my righteousness. So there's more to it. There's more to this story. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, He is the Father, our Heavenly Father. He has made Jesus. Now the word to be, if you look at that scripture, for he hath made him to be. The word to be is in italics. Anything in the Bible, I'll tell you now, if you're a Bible reader and a studier, anything in italics has been added. Okay, so I love to take the italics out, because to me it gives me a much better understanding when I'm studying the Bible. So it says he became, for he has made Jesus sin for us. Now, it kind of brings it right home. Jesus became sin. He didn't just carry your sins. He became sin. Vile in the eyes of God. In that moment, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because God had to turn away. It was so awful. Do you see, God's eyes can't see sin. Jesus had become sin. All sin. And like I said last week, can you imagine if you, Dave, had to pay physically the consequences of everybody's sin from the beginning of the time to the end? Can you imagine the pain and the suffering that you would have to go through in order to pay off that debt? But Jesus did. And like I said last week, he could have left his body. And I believe the hardest thing for him to do through that whole crucifixion, after that he got beat until his insides were hanging out, he had to stay alive. You see, he had to suffer all of it. And he did. He hung on until the very, because at any moment he could have just left his body and gone. But he didn't. For your sake and mine, it says he loved you to the end. In other words, he never gave up until every sin was dealt with. So he became sin for us who knew no sin. Can you imagine the shock of sin when he's God? Remember, he's God. And he became that sin. And the whole purpose of him becoming sin, of him doing what he did, was why? So that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to understand what that means. It's in the gospel, the cross, that the righteousness of God is revealed. So Jesus was made sin who knew no sin. Why? One reason. So he could make you righteous. And most Christians don't even understand what that is. They know he died for their sins, but they do not understand the second part, which is the power unto all things. So the way most people see it is God has made Jesus to be sin so we could be forgiven. And that's true too. But there's so much more to it. He made Jesus sin so he could make you righteous. That was the whole purpose. And our understanding of this makes all the difference in the world, in our lives. Well, first question. How did the Father make Jesus sin? The Bible says by faith. Jesus became sin. Okay? Well, I don't really understand it, but God knows. But if God could make himself sin, or his Son, who is God, and only he could do that, but if I think about that, I reckon that if he could do that, that's a big, I mean, that's from up here to the lowest hell. Then surely he can make you righteous. So that he made Jesus sin so he could make you righteous. That's what this is all about. He can make us who had no righteousness. If he could make Jesus who knew no sin, had no sin, and did no sin, sin, then he can make you, the unrighteous one, who has no righteousness, never really did much good, he can make you righteous. And that's the good news of the gospel. But not only just any righteousness, his righteousness, that we might become, it says, the righteousness of God. Not just righteous, his righteousness. How righteous is God? Oh my goodness. I mean, he's all holy, he's all perfect, he's all almighty. There's no flaw in Jesus or in God. So it's the righteousness of God that you have, not your own righteousness. First John chapter 4, verse 17 says this, and we know this scripture. I use it a lot in my daily walk. It says, as he is, so are we. As he is, Jesus, right now, not as he was, as a man, but right now, as he is glorified at the right hand of God, so are you. Now that is a hard one to swallow. And that's why Christians, you know, the Bible talks about a stumbling block in the Bible. The stumbling block is this message. It's like, no, I can't believe that. I can't swallow that. But listen, I'm just the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. This is what the Bible teaches. And it's time we saw the truth. We have been given such a load of stuff that is just not true. And because most of us are not Bible students, we don't know. But it's good to study the Word. It's good to get in there and start ripping it apart. And to understand how Scripture is written. And you know you can't take one Scripture out of context. It's got, you got to find that same narrative in at least three other Scriptures before you can say, this is what it means. And all throughout the New Testament, it talks about the righteousness of God, not your righteousness. And so you know this is not something we can earn. Jesus became as us at the cross, and when he died, we all died in him. If you don't understand how this works, when Jesus died, the Bible says we all were baptized into his death. We died. God joined us because sin was you, the whole human race. He became you. Basically, that's how you have to look at the cross. And when he died, you died. But only so that he could get you to rise up again. But when he was resurrected into a new life, so were you. And we who died with him will be raised with him just like him. Because in his death, we became one. And in his resurrection, we weren't ripped apart. No, we still are one. As he is, so are you. He's the head, you're the body. Is your head and body attached? Yes. He's the head of the church. That means he controls the church. He's the ruler of the church. But we're his body, and we're the ones, just like in your life, your head makes the decisions, but your body carries it out. You know, you can lay on a bed and have all your mental faculties, but if your body's no good, you can do nothing, and you can go nowhere. So we are the body of Christ. He's the head, but we're one entity, never to be severed. Nobody's going to cut the head off. We've got to have this understanding. And that's how we can say confidently, as he is, so am I. If I believe the gospel, there's truth in that. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, we who died with him were now raised with him to be just like him, free from sin. How can we be free from sin? Well, all sin was paid for and was judged. You see, sin brings judgment. There's no doubt about it. God said in the beginning, if you eat, you will die. The judgment for sin is death. It doesn't matter how big the sin is or how little it is. It's death. That's God's standard. And we think, we mock at that, and we think, well, you know, no. The Word of God says, he who sins will die. So all sin was judged in the body of another. You think about that for a minute. All sin, your sin, even sins you haven't committed, were already judged. That sets you free. It really does. But not all are made righteous. Now here's the key. Only those who receive it by faith. Righteousness is not something you earn, or it is a gift, pure and simple. That means it is available to all. All people can receive this gift. And you cannot buy a gift, nor can you earn it. You know why? Because if you can, then it's not a gift anymore. And when God's word says it's a gift, it's a gift. That means all you can do is just say, thank you. Romans 5:17. For by one man's sin, that's Adam, death reigned. In other words, everybody was born into Adam's sin and was on their way to death. There was no way you could get out of that. You couldn't try to be, you know, there's no way. We were all born into Adam's sin. But then it says, for by one man's sin, death reigned in life. Much more now, they which receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about today, reigning in life. How many of us are reigning in life? You know, reigning in life. I mean, you might think to yourself, well, I don't know if I'm reigning in life. But God wants you reigning in life. He gave you a gift, and that gift is called life. Then he gave you a gift called righteousness so that you might reign in your life. What does it mean to reign? Well, a king reigns. He has the control and the authority over stuff. He has a good life, right? King has a pretty good life. He sits on a throne and he just commands people to... Now, I'm giving you this example because they use the word reign to get the reader to actually think about the fact that I have now the authority in my own life. You see, people, there are people that think, oh, whatever happens is God's will. And that's a lie. That's not true. You do have authority in life. God's given it to you. Adam lost it in the garden. But when Jesus went to the cross, he got it back. Not for himself. He always did have all authority. He got it back for you. And he gave everything he did at the cross was for you. The righteousness, the payment for your sin. He did none of it for himself. He had all those things. He was God. He came down and he became us. He straightened this whole mess out and he gave everything that he got back that the devil had stolen over the years. He gave it back to us. And authority was part of that. Because when Adam and Eve were created, God said, let them have authority and dominion over the whole of creation. So you see, when Jesus went back, he said, all power and authority has now been given back to me, he said. Now I give it to you. You go, therefore, into this world and you use it. And we have the right to use it because we've been made righteous. For by one man's sin, so those who receive the gift, you see, righteousness is a gift. It can't be earned. It can only be received, how? By faith. Romans 10:10, very important scripture. Romans 10:10 says this. We need to see it so that you can see I'm not making this up. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession of it is made unto health, wealth, and what was the other one? Health, wealth, and wisdom. Not sure. Health, wealth, and wisdom, and to be wise, yes. The confession of your righteousness. So what does that really mean? Now, we have to remember that the gospel of Christ, the message of Jesus at the cross, is the power unto God, unto salvation, because the righteousness is being revealed in that message. From faith to faith. Not from faith to works, like we've been taught. You believe on Jesus, and now you produce the good works. And now your performance is going to be judged. After you receive Jesus. Nothing could be further from the truth. And that's why we have so many failures. It is not from faith to works. It's from faith to faith. You believed you were righteous by faith. Now you live and continue on in that belief as you walk through life. It comes by your faith. We are to live, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those that are righteous, you continue to believe as you walk through life, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not something you can ever lose. Okay? You cannot lose your righteousness once you've received it. That is eternal life you've received. And if you're not, if you can lose it, then it ain't eternal. And this is the true rest of God. The Bible talks a lot about entering, labor to enter into the rest of God. What is that? It's just resting and relaxing. I don't have to earn brownie points with God anymore. He earned them for me at the cross. What a restful way to live. I don't have to try. I mean, now does that mean we just go all wild and do whatever? No. No, that's not what that means. But what I'm saying is you never have to struggle or strive to be acceptable to God. Never. We are as righteous as Jesus is for all eternity. This righteousness is forever. When we were sinners, there was nothing we could do to get out of that state. Nothing. And it was all because of Adam's sin. And it took the death of Jesus Christ, who is God's only Son, to take us out. Do you think for one moment that what Adam did is greater than what Jesus did? No, not even close. By one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, his sin, all of us were born into sin. We were made sinners. Much more, it says, by one man's obedience, which was Jesus going to the cross, many are made righteous. So by faith, we now must live in this righteousness. We must see ourselves as being righteous. You know, most people don't have a good opinion of themselves. Did you know that? They don't see themselves as being, they try, they want to be. They you know, they make efforts to try to be good. To try to be, I don't know, a righteous person. Whatever they think that means or whatever they deem it means. Because they don't realize they already are righteous. And it's vain. Because, you know, it's like, I always like to put it this way. It's like trying to get into a room that you already are in. Now God wants you to rest in that and live out of that. Do you understand? There's a difference. Trying to be righteous or knowing you already are righteous. So by faith we now rest in God's righteousness. It's not our own. It was a gift. And don't allow condemnation into your heart because it's not from God. He's not judging you anymore. Did you know last week we learned that there's no judgment for the righteous? None. After you become righteous in Christ, there is no more judgment. You know, Jesus is coming back again. The Bible says without sin. Now, I used to wonder, what does that mean? Well, it means he's not coming back to deal with sin. He dealt with it at his first coming. But his second coming is totally going to be different. There is no more judgment for the believer. None. He judged you. Why? Because you were judged at the cross. It was as if you were put in Christ. The judgment is over. He paid the sin off. Just like in our natural world, you can't be tried twice for the same crime. That's called double jeopardy. Well, do you think, where do you think we got our laws from and our rules? From the Bible, from God himself. God would never punish you for a sin that you've committed. Why? Because he already punished his son. And he would be unjust in requiring punishment from you once he's laid it on his son. Do you understand? So it's a legal thing. Not only is it a love thing from God, it's also legal. And there are people that don't understand. You know, it's funny how the Lord works every part of every type of person into the gospel and shows them from a legal perspective, from a loving perspective, from a, you know, it's all there. So those that are legally minded say, well, you know, but legally they understand the law. And God is, let's face it, he is the judge who knows all, you know. And his judgments are righteous. They're perfect. They're fair. They are according to his word. So he already judged you at the cross. He judged your sin in the body of another long before you were ever born. So, you know, so like I say, you can know that every sin you will ever commit was judged. So let no one judge you. No one. You've already been judged. Let no one judge you, whether it's yourself. You see, you condemn yourself. Whether it's the enemy coming along and telling you you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Whether it's a brother or a neighbor or a friend, a mother, a father, a child. Let no one judge you. You've already been judged. To be a righteous person has got nothing to do with performance. Like, many people think that a religious person is a good person. Oh, he's so religious. But you know, they're not necessarily a righteous person. Only the ones that receive the gift are righteous. The only thing God has his eye on now, it's not your sins. God doesn't look at sin anymore. Why? Because it's all been done away. It's judged. He's cast it away into the sea of forgetfulness. The only thing he has his eye on now is your faith in his Son. He's watching that. Your faith in the gift of his, in his gift, the righteousness he's given you. And that's why the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you know that? No matter how good you are, no matter what great deeds you've done. You know, we're so programmed to think of people. You know, you hear this often. Oh, you've got a free pass into heaven. Oh, you must be a saint. Why? All based on what we see this person doing. That's not true. You see, we're programmed to see righteousness as good works. And I'm trying to tell us that's not the truth. Now, righteousness produces good works, but many people do good works because they're trying to earn righteousness. Understand? There's a difference. There is a judgment for the righteous one as well, but it's not like the judgment that those who haven't received the gift of righteousness. You see, at the very end, people talk about the day of judgment, you know, and we get all, oh, the day of judgment. I just heard someone say that, as Christians, when we leave this world, we're going to all have to sit in a big studio, if you can imagine, and watch live pictures of everybody's life, like a movie theater, right? And everything is going to be shown. And I'm thinking, whoa, that, like, really? No, that is definitely not the truth, because it does talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and that is for the believer, that is for the ones that are righteous. But if you look up that word judgment, it does not, it's a different word there. It means the bema seat of Christ. Now, the bema seat is your works of faith. Everything that you've ever done according, like, works, is going to be laid on the altar, and it's going to be lit on fire. Now, if that work was done by faith in your righteousness, faith in Christ, you're going to get a reward for it. It's like rewards night at the school. You know, you're not getting judged. We're getting judged for the good, for the faith. It's only faith. You got to understand, God is all about faith. Faith, faith, faith. Judgment for the sinner is judgment of sin, but for the believer, it's the reward of faith. That's our judgment. And so we ought to live our lives by faith. That's why it says the righteous shall live by faith. God loves faith. It was the thing that stopped Jesus dead in his tracks, even when he was walking on the earth. Remember, the people that weren't even Jewish, you know, like that that little woman with the daughter that was vexed with the devil. And she would not let go. She wasn't a Christian. She was a pagan. She was worshiping false gods. And her daughter got this demon and was destroying her daughter. And she had heard about Jesus, this prophet or whatever she heard, and that he was casting out demons. So she went to him and she said, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "No." He said, I "You're not my child." Like, you see, Jesus came to his children to deliver them at that point, which was the Jewish people. And she says, he said, and how he put it was, "I can't take the bread, the children's bread, which is our healing, our deliverance, and give it to the dogs." And she says, "Yeah, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table." And Jesus was astounded at her faith. She was not backing off because he had just called her a dog. And he said, "Woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you have declared it." And there was a couple of incidents where Jesus stopped in his tracks. Why? What arrests the heart of God? Faith. And the more crazy thing that you're believing God for, the more impossible the situation is seeming, The Creator God loves it. And he's got his eye on you as you're walking through that. He knows. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's been there. He's been on the earth. And he loves every minute of it. He's got his angels egging you on. You know, come on, come on. You can do this. You can believe it. You can believe it. Because the whole thing is, can I continue to believe this when everything in my life shows me it's opposite? Whether it's sickness in your body or whether it's, I don't care what it is. Faith is trusting the word of God in that situation. Because God's word says you're righteous. And so if it says it, you are. God's word says you're healed. If it says it, you are. And so what faith is just simply putting our trust in his word rather than in our natural circumstances. And that's living by faith in everything that you do. You know, don't confess the negative in any situation, whether it's with your children or with, go to the Word of God. Find out what God's Word says about your kids. Repeat it. Say, I come into agreement with what you say, Lord, because your Word is true. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now I have the power to speak words. Have the faith of God. Speak unto your mountain. Be thou removed and cast to the sea. And if you doubt not in your heart, you will have what you say. You see, God has given you the authority now to speak because you are righteous. Speak words that line up with his word. Anyways, I'm way off my notes here. So there's a lot of pushback on this subject because people think it gives us a license to sin because now our sins are already paid for before we even commit them. Oh, yahoo, I get to get it. You know, like, that's so ridiculous because I don't think you're going to wake up in the morning because of this message and think, wow, I can just sin all day long. That's stupid. But anyways, so let's ask this question in explaining that. Are you a sinner because you sinned? Ask yourself that. Are you a sinner because you sinned? Or were you a sinner because you sinned? No. You were born into sin. You sinned because you were a sinner. Do you understand? That was your nature. You had the nature of Adam. So, on the flip side, are you righteous because you've done righteous deeds? Good works? No. We do righteous deeds because we are righteous. And so what that means is as you see yourself, as you think of yourself within you, that's how you act. That's who I am. If I think I'm ugly, I will act ugly. You understand? You see, we live. God created us to live from the inside out because the real you is your spirit. It's not your body. This body is just the house you live in. But the spirit of inside is how you really see self. And as you see self, you act it out. So if you begin to really believe that you are indeed the righteousness of God in Christ, you will begin to live righteous. That's just the way it is. And that's why I said we have to, they're radicalizing our children to believe certain things that it becomes, you know what, that's why they're acting them out. And so I said to Megan, we need to radicalize our kids with the word of God so they can act out godly characteristics like love and joy and peace and all of those things. Because as you can get to the point in your brain where you believe this stuff. And as children, their brains are just developing. You know, we're a little bit older. I wish sometimes I could take my brain out and reconnect it and wire it. We can't do that. But the older you get, the more, you know, firm you become in your convictions and what you believe. And it's only the word of God that can actually change that. Because God's word is not just ordinary words. They're spirit and they're life. And so when you hear the word of God, something on the inside of you goes, I think I believe that. For whatever the reason, even as ridiculous as some of it sounds, you believe it. God really is that good. You see, and my job as a messenger isn't to tell you about your failures. It's about to tell you about God's goodness. You see, and the more of the goodness of God that we learn about, the more we're going to have faith in him. That's what it's all about. So don't let anybody ever tell you, you must do this, you must do that, because you leave here with more of a burden on your shoulders than when you walked in the door. And my I believe what I'm here to do is to help you understand and to lift those burdens so that when you leave here, you are walking out of here much more happy, much more knowing more and understand, and you're starting to fall in love with God. That's the whole key, because at the end of the day, that's what he wants from you. He wants you to love him. That was the first commandment back in the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your being. And that's what God wants from you. He just wants you to love him as much as he loves you. He's done everything he can to clear that path for you to come to him, right? So there's a lot of pushback on this subject. But as a man believes in his heart, so he is. So how does living, we're going to close in this, how does living by our faith in this righteousness look? How do we implement it into our lives? Well, let's look at a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, in understanding this, and or to answer this question. In verse 3 of chapter 10, it says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And that's going on all the time in many churches. Being ignorant of the fact that God has already made them righteous, they are now out there and they're being told to go out and do righteous works. You know, you got to give. You got to be, you know, and then they'll give them all kinds of scriptures about how, you know, give and do this and do that. And like I say, immediately what happens is you yourself begin to judge yourself according to your deeds. It's wrong. It's wrong because all of us are going to come up short. And then you condemn yourself. And the minute you condemn yourself, you're down, you're depressed, you're just, and now you're not going to God. And you think, well, I can fix this. I can be a better person. And so you get, it's like a diet. You get your willpower going. Well, what happens if you got more willpower than I do, Pat? Are you going to go further than me? God doesn't expect us to live on willpower, but to live on the truth, which he says, you are righteous. Stop all that. Stop all of it. And stop judging one another. I am not going to judge you because you're as righteous as I am. And it doesn't matter what I see in the natural. That will change as you walk by faith in this. So, they have not submitted unto the righteousness of God. Why? What are they doing? They're still trying to earn it. And they live their whole lives trying to be acceptable and approved of God when it's already been done. Is anybody able to gain God's approval by their own goodness or their own works? And you know, like I said earlier, we like to call people saints who have labored in good works on the earth or given up their lives for things or for a good cause. But if they have, first of all, not received the gift of righteousness in Christ, all of that work is in vain. None of it is going to stand a chance. None of it. Because God's standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ, and not a one of us can reach that standard without a gift. Without this gift. But I want to bring out another word of this passage to close it up. It's the word submit. They have not submitted unto God's righteousness. So living this life of righteousness, and hear me, is really a life of submitting or submission to God. That is the life of faith, submitting to God. How do we submit to God? We submit to his word. And his word is good. In fact, we have a hard time believing it. To submit to his word, to bring everything into agreement with what he says, not what you think is happening, not what you feel. Get rid of your emotions here. God, your word says that great is the peace and the undisturbed composure of my children. And that's what I believe. I don't believe what I see with my eyes and what I hear with my ears. You know, and that's totally opposite the world's ways. The world is going to say, are you nuts? That's true. You see, that's what the persecution is. That's why the Christian is zeroed out as being a little bit, you know, they call us right-wingers or whatever. But you know what? I don't care what the world thinks. I only care what God thinks. And I know that God's word is what created this world. God said, light be. And light still is. And like I said last week, when is the last time you ever went to bed at night and worried or stressed or fussed that the sun's not going to come up in the morning? And I also said, there are four seasons that God created. And we can count on those four seasons. They've been going on since he created them. But there's times during those seasons, like this year, you would have swore spring was here. For the last 2 weeks, it looked like spring, smelled like spring, grass is growing green. Is it spring? No. And that's how it is with God's word. It's going to look like when you step out in faith and say, no, the Bible, I do not accept this pain in my body. Why? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not paying. You see, to be righteous means your sins paid for. You don't have to pay for them anymore. This disease does not belong. It says you're dead to sin. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. That means I am dead to the consequences and the payment of sin. Why? He paid for. And so when you get sick or you get attacked, say, no, 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 this doesn't belong to me. This is in my body illegally. You're not denying that it's there, but you're denying its right to be there. And then you say, the Bible tells me, God's word says, by his stripe I'm healed. That's my confession. That's the truth. It matters not how I feel, how it looks, or even what the doctor says. Because I'm not submitting myself to the world or to the flesh. That's being carnally minded. I am submitting myself to God's word. That's being spiritually minded. And the Bible says if you are carnally minded, you will die. If you are spiritually minded, you will live. That's how you reign in life. Submit yourself unto God's word, unto what he says about you, and continue and live according to it. And you're going to go through some battles. That's what faith is. There is, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Though, but you will win if you give not. If you give up not. If you are weary not in well-doing. In other words, well-doing in the eyes of God isn't necessarily doing good works the way we think it. It's walking by faith. And when he sees someone walking by faith, I'll tell you what, he gets all over that. That person, the Bible says the glory of the Lord rests on that person. You know, think of that. Keep these thoughts in your mind as you go through your daily lives. Am I going to just give in to everything that comes along? Or am I going to submit myself underneath? Submission isn't a bad word. It's like, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it's the same thing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. In other words, it's now that you are righteous, the Bible says you are now, you have the spirit of sonship. You are truly a child of God. So let's bring it into the natural. Your children, do they trust you? Do they, you know, they're under your authority. And it's a childlike faith. It's like they come to you for everything, right? If they want something, who do they go to? They don't go to the neighbors. They don't go to some stranger down the street. They go to mom and dad, right? And that's what God wants. He just wants you to be his child. Say, Father, you've already provided this for me. You see, all things have been given at the cross. You've already provided for me this thing. I submit myself unto your word. I believe your word. I believe you have supplied this for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have the faith of a child. Jesus even said, you will not enter into the kingdom life unless you have faith as a little child. And we know faith of a little child can be very, very strong. So what you're doing is you're taking all your troubles and you're saying, God, I don't know what to do with this. I can't change. I've tried. I can't change the situation. It is what it is. So I'm going to just take it and I'm just going to give it to you. It's yours now. That thing's on you now. If it doesn't work out, it's on you. Because I don't want it anymore. Do you understand? That's living free. Whenever you have a problem that's troubling you or just causing you guilt and shame and grief, just see yourself taking it and laying it at his feet like a child would bring a problem to his parent. Once he's given it to his parents and mom says, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll buy you a new hockey stick. I'll look after it. Child is free. He goes. He's not concerned about that thing anymore. And that's what God wants from you. That is called the righteous way to live. It's not necessarily doing good things. And yes, that comes into it, because when you are righteous, you will do righteous deeds. Of course you will. Because you're so, because you know what? You have everything. You're not afraid. You're not going to cheat on this or steal. Why? Because God provides everything for me. You see, there's no need. There's no need anymore. You're free. You've got a Father who loves you, has given you everything in Christ, and you can live free. But you have to live by faith. But the more you walk in this, the more you're going to see God work. And you're going to say, whoa, that was the Lord. And then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And God is able to do more and more and more through you. And at the end, your rewards will be great. Why? For just receiving his goodness. Isn't that amazing? God rewards those who receive his goodness, who have been healed. God rewards those who have received in this life the things that he's given us through Christ. That is so, you know, you think, well, you got your reward. God doesn't reward us necessarily for our slaving for him. You're not a slave, you're his son. He rewards you for receiving from him. And that's what people need to understand. So I want you to look at righteousness in a whole new way. It means you are a child of God, forever washed clean. You never have to worry about approaching God. He sees no sin in you. You see, the Bible says he sees you as blameless, as if you had never sinned. And you have the same right with him as Jesus does, because Jesus is your standard of righteousness. It's the gift he's given you. So you can come boldly, the Bible says, into the throne room of God and receive all the things you need freely, like a child goes to his parent. Why? Simply because, is it because little Johnny did all so good? No, it's because you're my child. Of course I'm going to feed you. You think you, as a parent, would withhold healing from your child if they were sick, even if they did mess up? Of course not. And so people get this funny idea, well, God's, you know, he gave me this cancer for a reason. He's trying to teach me something. How ridiculous. You wouldn't do that to your child, nor does God do it to his. You know, even a rational parent in disciplining his child doesn't take food away from them. You don't starve them. You know, and so we need to understand how good God really is. And all he wants from you is just for you to rest in his righteousness. Rest like a child would rest, a small child would rest in the parents' love and care. No, worry about it. My parents, they got it. They got it. And continually come into agreement. Don't allow condemnation in your life. Don't beat yourself up over anything. Just thank God every day that your sins are all washed away and your righteousness is not yours, it's Jesus. And I'm free from that thing. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with communion this morning.